I've had a lot of opportunities to really be shocked by many different types of cultures over my life. And I'm just going to tell a couple of quick vignettes of sort related to a couple of different unique experiences that I've had in my life. When I was a teenager, about 17, I was still in high school, my mother moved to the suburbs of Boston, which was a shock for me alone. But we had a large house, and it was just my sisters and myself and my mother. And the house had six bedrooms. And one of the things that my mother thought would be a good idea to try and get some extra income at the time was to participate in this program called At Home in Boston. And it was basically a program that allowed foreign exchange students, or actually I shouldn't say exchange, there were foreign students who, as an alternative to living in the dorms, wanted to live in an American home and get the experience of what it's like to live in an American home. Little did we know, we were really going to be the ones that got all the experiences. So I really thought that over the 20 years that my mother did this, that started when I was about 17, that she had about 50 students, and she told me this evening that it was actually 65 to 70 from 30 different countries. So from that array of students, you can imagine that there's all kinds of experiences. So I'm going to pick one that occurred to me with one of the students while living at the house, and then one after I met one of the students that lived there and traveled to his home in Japan. First one, I think it's a very interesting story. We had this student who was living upstairs, who was from Syria. And apparently one day he didn't have class. And it doesn't mean he wasn't a classy guy. He just didn't have class that day, so he stayed home. And apparently, hands make work of the devil. And he found this BB rifle in the back hall of our house. And he was probably thought, hey, this is really cool, I'm going to go, see what I can do out in the backyard with this thing. Now, my mother's house was in the suburbs, but it was a very, very congested or very tightly or densely packed neighborhood. And this guy went out in the back, patio, like no big deal, probably sometime around springtime, started looking up in the trees and saw these really cool birds, It's like, started shooting birds, in the backyard in this really crowded neighborhood. And, I was kind of oblivious. It didn't happen while I was there. But, later on when my mother came home from work, the student said, oh, hey, I got some birds from the trees today. And my mother was like, excuse me, what is it? What do you mean by birds from the trees? And apparently he caught a few birds from the trees, and he was proud to announce to my mother that she didn't have to really go out shopping for anything for dinner that night because he saved some of them and wrapped them up, and they're in the freezer. My mother was like, oh, my God, you can't do that. So he opens the freezer and pulls out this aluminum foil wrapped up. There's, like, blue jays, and it's like, oh, my God. She's like, you can't do that, and that's like, we don't eat those birds. So needless to say, they met an early death and went out in the trash, and that was it for him. But there was another time later on when I was actually off at college. I was attending University of Oregon for a while, and I came home by surprise one holiday, and I was met at the back door and had my keys. It had been like 6 months since I'd been there. And this Japanese student came to the door when I was trying to get in, and he looked at me like, yes, can I help you? And I'm like, I live here. And he goes, I don't know, you don't live here. And so finally I got to know this guy, and everything was really, fine. He was a very, very nice guy. His name was Ty. And eventually at, one point, probably I would say 5-7 years later, I had an opportunity to go to Japan, and we connected there, and I got to stay with him in his apartment in Tokyo. And I had always known that his mother was a writer. That's all he would say about his mother. She's a writer, and she's written a few books in Japan, and whatever. So he really downplayed it significantly. So he said, you know, why don't we, you know, on this last weekend that you're here, let's go out to my mother's home. It's it's south of the city on the way towards where Mount Fuji is. So we went on the bullet train. We went down there. Everything was just pretty normal until we got to the station. And as soon as we got off the train and walked out to the platform, there were these people with like a nice Mercedes-Benz, and they were basically taking our bags and bowing to us like left and right. And I'm like thinking, gee, why are these people so enamored of us? And they were looking at Ty like he was a god. So we went back to his mother's house, and you know, at first it was somewhat unassuming, but it was a very large house on the side of a mountain, side of a hill, at the foot of the mountain. And Ty brought me upstairs, and he showed me to my room, and it was basically a hotel room. I mean, it had a TV. I mean, I felt like, you know, I could have ordered room service if I wanted. And eventually he took me, you know, down to meet his mother. His mother was very animated, very, she talked to me in Japanese like I knew what she was saying. And Ty was trying to explain to me certain things, but, you know, Ty was telling me what he thought I probably should hear. I have no idea what she was really saying. And as you'll hear in a minute, you'll realize why. But she said, oh, I'm sad that you have to leave before this weekend's up because I'm having a party on Sunday, and I really thought it'd be nice if you could come and say hello to some of the guests. And I said, okay, well, I guess I can probably come down and visit with them before I take off, and if that's okay. And apparently, through translation, yes, that was fine. So Ty was a very easygoing guy, very loose, very, you know, calm, never very nervous about anything. But on that, you know, Sunday before we went to mingle with the party guests, he seemed very, very nervous. We were in this living room that seemed to be in the center of the house, and he was kind of pacing and pacing, and then he said, okay, it's time, let's go. And I'm like, all right. So I walk out behind Ty, and we walk out, and we walk around the house, and all of a sudden we come out into this big, huge open room. There's like 125 Japanese people all like kneeling down, and there's candles on the side of the room and candles behind there. And I'm like, whoa, what is this? This doesn't look like a party to me. So Ty takes me up, walks all the way up to the front, and I'm like, please don't say we're going to the front of this room. Please don't say we're going to the front of this room. So we kept going, and Ty went up there, and they cheered him like he was Bono. I'm like, he was like a huge rock star. I'm like, wow, this is really, I really didn't realize he was such a big deal here in Japan. Anyway, he went through, and he was speaking Japanese, and he went like this. Hello. And then he hands the microphone to me and goes, huh. And I went, hello. It's so nice to be here with you today. I've enjoyed your country so much. I'm sorry I can't stay, but I hope you have a great day. Thank you very much. And that was the end of my speech for that day. And I like left, and I was happy to like get in that little Mercedes and go back to the bullet train and get on the train and go home. I was like, oh my God, that is like crazy. But anyway, apparently she was an author of cult religious books in Japan. I didn't see any sarin gas, but you know, it's that was probably for after hours. Anyway, looks like I probably have about 1 minute left, so I'm going to take a real quick stab at one last phase after having all these students that experienced living at my mother's house. I had au pairs watch my children when they grew up, and I had probably about seven or eight au pairs from all around the world, and there's one that was really interesting. You know, I went to go pick her up at the train station, and she was a Russian national from Latvia, and I was trying to explain in, you know, English to her, and she had this broken Russian, and she kept trying to understand what I was saying. And I said, oh yeah, you know, my wife, you know, she's a computer programmer. And she's like, no, woman, no, program woman, type, yes, type. And I'm like, no, she's a programmer, what's wrong with that? No, it's not right. So she was very upset by that, and I was like, wow, what's the big deal? So the next morning, you know, she came downstairs, shocked again to see me cooking breakfast for the kids. She's like, oh, man, no cook. What's wrong? This is not right. So then I said, no, it's okay, no big deal. So Next thing that turns around that really like freaked her out, I said, hey, you want to come to the bus stop and see where the kids get picked up in the morning? She went to go out the door, and then she saw me coming to go to the bus stop, and she was like, what? Man, no, go to the bus stop. That's not right. So we get to the bus stop, and she sees all the other kids waiting with their fathers, and she's like, what? It's all men. That's not right. 2 minutes later, the bus pulls up, and the door opens, and the driver was a woman, and I thought she was going to die. That's it. Thank you very much.